Blog Talk Radio.
Divine peace and blessing, transcendence and serenity. Divine peace and blessings, transcendence and serenity. I am the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, author, practitioner, and advisor, sharing with you in divine peace and understanding, love and light, ritual and overstanding from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, revolutionary, and evolutionary. Understanding that indeed all is a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my mantra, this is my prayer, my constant affirmation, reverberation, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, teaching, and spiritual walk and works along this divine life path and journey. And it is how I make sense out of all that we are challenged with in our daily existence here on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize all endeavors. Understanding that I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is, Ashe. And today is Wednesday, the day of the solar Asiatic eclipse. In the month of Yemaya, July 22nd, 2009, in the year of Oya, and powerful dramatic transformations and manifestations. Yansa is busy. Yansa is very, very busy serving, meeting, greeting, and entertaining at the corners of the universe. The four winds blow, and for everything, it has its purpose and its season. And I am moving forward with you from the Mid-South Mississippi Delta City of the Dead, Memphis, Tennessee. We have a great pyramid and a tomb of the unknown and unutilized, with a statue of Osiris standing proudly but silently out front. And sadhus and Hindu holy men watched the eclipse. In Allahabad, India, where tens of thousands of people from renowned astrophysics to farmers descended on a muddy Indian village to watch the best solar eclipse of the 21st century from what was predicted to be one of the finest vantage points on the planet. There was only one problem. When the key moment came, it was cloudy. The luxuriously thick monsoon cloud cover that had formed over Terengganu in northern India overnight obscured any view of the heavens from the moment first contact was made between the moon's shadow and the sun to the point of totality. And when the sun completely obscured, the sky turned black over Terengganu, where every rooftop was populated with throngs of spectators as the sun appeared to set just an hour after rising, and the eclipse lasted 3 minutes and 38 seconds. The descent into darkness was met with whooping and hollering from a massive crowd who had spent an hour listening to a state-sponsored lecture seeking to dispel the belief that eclipse portend ill fortune. But the return of daylight was met with bigger cheers, and the village is said to be where Ayyappatta, the most renowned Indian astronomer of antiquity, observed the heavens. Some believe that he invented the concept of zero here. He also made some of the earliest accurate predictions of when eclipses would occur, and across the country, millions gathered. For the most part, predictions of disaster did not come true, although a woman, aged 65, was killed in a stampede at Varanasi, a city on the banks of Ganges, where devout Hindus had gathered to bathe. thousands had also gathered at the ancient altar of the sun in Beijing, while hundreds of millions poured into streets across China to gaze as the sky darkened from the west of the country and along a track that followed the Yangtze River before slipping out to sea from Shanghai. Shelagh Lester Smith, a Briton who had made the journey to Shanghai for this once-in-a-lifetime sight of such a long total eclipse, said it was very exciting. It felt like the end of the world had come. Anxious to avoid panic among farmers perplexed by the disappearance of the sun or accidents as streets darkened, China's State Council issued a directive to local government to take additional measures. They turned on streetlights and even provided special lighting at Shanghai Zoo in case animals took fright. The eclipse was visible in its totality over an area of China 250 kilometers, I believe that's 155 miles wide, and 10,000 kilometers or 6,000 miles long. And standing on the large marble platform that is the 16th century altar in Beijing, where the emperor would make ritual sacrifices to the sun, hundreds watched the penumbra. One man said, "I am happy I stayed despite the clouds because I saw it, and it was very impressive. This is a rare chance in someone's life." And in the Thai capital, Bangkok, dozens of monks led a mass prayer at a Buddhist temple to ward off what they said would be ill effects. The eclipse began in the Arabian Sea. The band of complete darkness first hit the western Indian state of Gujarat shortly before 6:30 a.m. local time, and the shadow then raced 15 minutes the speed of sound across the subcontinent before reaching Nepal and blacking out much of Bhutan. After clipping Bangladesh and crossing Burma, it moved on to China before hitting the ocean once more off Shanghai. And the trajectory is likely to have made it more widely experienced eclipse in history, according to NASA, with an estimated 2 billion people cast into total or partial darkness. It was, however, the duration of the blackout that made this eclipse extraordinary. Over the Pacific Ocean, the sun disappeared for 6 minutes and 39 seconds, a duration that will not be matched again until the year 2132. And tonight's theme is hoodoo historically is, has been, and forever will be at the forefront of any true revolutionary movement and thinking. Do not be hoodwinked out of fighting for your soul and spiritual evolution. You will be unsuccessful in any revolutionary movement otherwise. And we will discuss the involvement of COINTELPRO, also known as COINTEL, in the disruption of spiritual evolutionary thought and growth in America and the world, and the blind leadership that follows and assist in the dissemination of this misprogramming, and the history and presence of this battle against African-centered thought and spirituality from within and without its ranks. Government and policy have supported this effort since before the time of Christ and continue now with the aid and assistance, albeit unconscious, from within the conscious, religious, spiritual, political, and revolutionary movements themselves. And let us please also acknowledge our elder and high priest and co-host, Papa Say. Papa Say can also be located in my virtual temple group, House of the Divine Prince, and the direct link can be found right now in the chat room and also at the top of the first page of my website, www.houseofthedivineprince.com. You can also locate more contact information for my co-host on his Blog Talk Radio profile. And once again, he is present in the chat room. You can click onto his name, Papa Say, and find his Blog Talk Radio profile. He will also be entering at some point during the show contact links directly in the chat. And my website, where I can be reached utilizing various means almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of power and understanding, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And I specialize in doing battle, difficult, and blocked situations of every type in order and endeavor, and I specialize in results. Please also know that I have another site, my virtual temple group, House of the Divine Prince, where I offer a virtual temple of various Pan-African and world spiritual, religious, and magical practitioners in one convenient location. And the direct link can be found at the top of the first page of my website, www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And we will be forward with the meditation and more of the Divine Prince and Papa Say on Blog Talk Radio. All is a blessing and divine peace and transcendence, joy and community. Ashe. And we are binding right now in this moment that which is not vibrating in divine light. which would seek to divide, conquer, destroy, and enslave. Demons and devil, jinn and man, succubus, incubus, vampires and dark lords and souls and entities of every make and order. Haters and perpetrators, Rasta imposters, faking Jamaicans, liars and pacifiers, race baiters and nation dividers, armchair revolutionaries, you are now officially on notice. False prophets and ministers and imams and all other various vipers of the world community, those who would pimp the entire world just to honor and glorify your own ego and carnal desires, just to bring imbalance and division, we know who you are and we know where you stand. Satisfying your flesh and doing it all in God's various and most righteous names, stirring your cauldron pots of evil and darkness, vanity and covetousness, hatred and unholy retribution. Know that we are here and the work must and will continue. Know that the interjection of my essence and imagery will only sweeten your pot. It will only bless that which you would seek to curse, will only reverse that which you would seek to conjure. Know that your work is being undone and you are bound by your own hand and accursed by your own decision. You are powerless because of that which you fear the most. Know that you will be judged in accordance with your judgment. Those that stand in hate for me, know that you will be far too busy fending off those who will have hate for you, for it is a divine law of mirrors. Deuteronomy 28:7 says, they will come before me in one way and will flee before me in seven ways. You speak to curse me in one way and understand not that you speak curses upon yourselves in multitudes and multiples of 7 times 7. Deuteronomy 28:25 says, the Most High God will cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You will want to go out one way against them and flee before them in 7 ways. Know that you advance not because of your own ignorance. You advance not because of your own fears, because of your own self-hatred and self-loathing, because of your own laziness and covetousness. And right now we command you to grow or be gone, to loose or you shall be bound. And we are right now in this moment loosing the captives within the confines of their own minds, hearts, souls, spirits, and light bodies for ultimate manifestation here in this divine moment, and loosing the divine and righteous spirit and energies of the Most High and purest order right now, right here in this moment where I stand and I am consciousness. Right now we stand here in this moment in divine Christ consciousness. We in this moment stand in divine Krishna consciousness. We stand in our Mahadasha, our great period in our divine destiny, never to be a victim again, understanding that all can be accomplished and maintained first within the spirit realms. In this moment, we stand, and the God in me greets the God in you. The spirit in me meets the same spirit in you in divine namaste. And in the presence of our divine creators, we stand now in this moment in the presence of our ascended ancestors and a host of divine and angelic entities and forces struggling to reach out to us, to assist us in our endeavors, and to ultimately save us from our pitiful selves. We stand in namaste. We recognize the duality that has ever existed in this world. And in this moment, we make efforts to bring these two forces, ultimately leading to a higher unity and non-dual state of oneness. God and goddess, priest and priestess, king and queen, man and woman, heaven and earth, sun and moon, there is indeed no sphere of our existence untouched by the symbolic significance of namaste. And right now in this moment, we vibrate and illuminate the divine light of higher consciousness and the connection we have to the divine universal creator, that we may grow, evolve, rebirth, and remember our higher selves and consciousness and master that which we have contracted to do within this life and this realm to bring about union and balance with the divine, all that is and I am. And we set forth right now in this moment a reverberation across the proverbial pond of all time and space, all form and space, and transmit, project, and emit a divine beacon out to the spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and mentally enslaved, incarcerated, and comatose. And know that this will not return unto us void. Our prayer and reverberation will not return to us in vain and without divine manifestation. So go with me now. Go within to your core, to your center, to the quiet and still place of all inner understanding, the altar of the soul, the altar of the Most High, the temple of the macrocosmic, microcosmic experience, to the place of the great oracles and the smoldering serpentine fire, and free your mind of the things of this world, what you have done, what you are doing, what you have yet to do, what you may be in lacking of or in need of, and just for a moment act as if you truly believe and understand that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veils, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. Someone asked me, what did you mean all is a blessing? And I responded, simply the shortest answer is Romans 8 and 28. For all things work together for the good of those who love the Most High God. And now just for a moment, allow yourself to see with my eyes and my understanding that I may carry you on a divine journey to self-discovery and empowerment, to spiritual evolution, elevation, and divine illumination. That I may carry you on the wings of Shekinah glory to the inner mansions of the Most High. For in my divine Father's house, in my divine Mother's house, there are many mansions, and within these mansions are the divine secrets, blessings, and mysteries of all that is, that has ever been, and is yet to come. And it is in this place there is absolute peace and divine understanding, power and protection. In this place are tranquil pools and uncharted corridors which hold all the blessings and possibilities that the divine creators has promised us before embarking on this perilous and earthen journey. So go with me now, if you will. Understanding that it's in this place that our power dwells, our power exists, and our personal power is replenished. Walk upon the fine red and purple carpets and smell the incense of frankincense and myrrh, sage and nagchampa burning in the air. Hear the sound of continuously flowing, healing, purifying waters and wells, and find your place with us along the side of the pools of divine peace and tranquility, and the fountains of eternal life-giving waters and healing divine knowledge and understanding as we journey to the center. Let us not have fear or apprehension as we open the doors and uncover the mysteries, the divine mysteries of who and what, when, where, and why, and how we are, and fortify that which we need for this cosmic journey. Ranks are forming and sides chosen. The spiritual warriors and high priests and priestesses of honor and glory are fighting on our behalf and of all that is good and righteous. We battle in earnest and stand now in this moment with you and for you, and for those without a voice and powerless, know that you wrestle not alone and you wrestle not in vain. We light incense and burnt offerings for those who cannot protect and defend for themselves, and know that we are here, called as we have been throughout creation since the beginnings of time itself. Know that this is the time to rise from your slumber and pick up your spiritual arms to fight against spiritual wickedness and injustice, deception and calamity, wherever in the world, in our divine universe, it may exist. If not now, when? If not you, then who? In this moment, Papa Say and I light candles to acknowledge and show honor and appreciation to those who have come before us and laid the way and the foundation upon which we now all stand. In this moment, Papa Say and I, we light candles to light the way of those who may have lost their way and to guide them back to the light. We also light candles in this moment against all that would seek to divide, conquer, destroy, and enslave. Know that we are binding you right now in this moment, that these are more than just mere words. All demons and devils and backbiters, we are binding you right now. And we are freeing the captives and the enslaved. We light incense and burnt offerings in this moment for those that have come before us, our exalted and ascended ancestors, and those who have laid the path before us in blood, sweat, tears, prayer, and ritual. Papa, say, pour us libation in this moment to their continued life force, blood, honor, and spirit of our honored ancestors, that we may preserve and never lose connection to their ingenuity, wisdom, and perseverance. May it never leave us, but be with us in all that we set our hands to do. That we will bring honor and not shame on our forefathers and foremothers as we battle forward in this often uncertain and perilous time. And we pour red brick dust and form a virtual universal chain of intention and action, a protection for all who would do the will of light and divinity on behalf of all creation. Let us not sojourn and endeavor in vain. Let us not sojourn and endeavor in vanity. Let us not sojourn and endeavor in flesh. Let us not sojourn and endeavor in ego and carnality. Let us not sojourn and endeavor in materialism and animal nature. Let it not be for naught, endeavoring that the divine creators will be pleased with us and that we will forever pay homage to the divine forces beyond our present level of comprehension and ultimately find our way back home to be with them as evolved light beings. We meet here tonight in the crossroads of what has gone before and what is yet to come. We meet at the crossroads of all time and space, interdimensionally and cosmically, vibrating in pure light and understanding. Holding black obsidian in one hand and selenite wand in the other, knowing that we stand at the center of divine universe and all that is right now and in this very moment. And we stand not in vain, we stand not alone, and we stand not without divine purpose. Ranks are forming to do battle in the spirit realms with us and for us. We need only to honor and acknowledge them, to bring forth their presence, evolution, wisdom force into our plane of existence. Know that the spirit realms are more real than this illusionary, transitory, relative, ever-changing, physical plane, illusionary dimension for which many are ill-prepared to navigate. And true spiritual power and knowledge lies in its efficacy and in its ability to manifest real and powerful, tangible, lasting, universal cosmic change and results. Right here and right now in this divine moment in time. Know that we are at war, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I, Tai Chica, Sin Seta, Eret, a faithful minister, shall make known to you all things. May we be purified and stand the test by the divine fire. And return as pure gold. May we never, ever again be led astray. And with this, we send our prayers to Olorun continually and without ceasing. Aboru, aboy de abo shishe, ashe. May our Igbo reach your room. May our Igbo be accepted. May our Igbo allow what we desire to come to pass. And so we say, ashe, and amen. And I will be forward in a moment. Paleg Ma. Oh, yes, they're talking me bad. Yeah. And please remember, when visiting the historic downtown Memphis area and its tourist district and street trolley cars, please stop by and visit Winfield Shoes at the corner of Main and Madison, across from the Walgreens. Carl Winfield has a selection of fine men's shoes, suits, and accessories located at 2 South Main Street in downtown Memphis and walking distance from Peabody Place and the Great Memphis Pyramid. Carl Winfield's number is 901-528-2222. And to be sure to get that A1 service, please tell Carl the Divine Prince sent you from Blog Talk Radio. And also visit Tony on the south side of the Main Street trolley car at the Jewelry Market, 43 South Main Street, Memphis, Tennessee. And his phone number is 901-522-9624. And both of these fine establishments can be found and located right off the historic Main Street trolley car in downtown Memphis. Be sure to tell them that the Divine Prince sent you from Blog Talk Radio.
Now you see my face.
Hoodoo historically is, has been, and forever will be at the forefront of any true revolutionary movement and thinking. Do not be hoodwinked out of fighting for your soul and spiritual evolution. You will be unsuccessful in any revolutionary movement otherwise. Religion and the confusion of religion and spirituality are a trick to keep you weak and enslaved. Remember the lessons of COINTELPRO and do not allow your community to be divided over religion at the hands of the enemy and his cohorts. COINTELPRO, I say, because they staged these groups, organizations, spaces, and pages that elicit the most basic and primal of responses, seeking under a guise of terrorist searching, or the loose cannon, as it were. They seek to draw out the motivated but least disciplined as a target for ultimate incarceration, systemization, and death. A showy net or trap set to capture the young, unlearned, and ego-driven. True warriors and revolutionaries understand that longevity is a fruit of success in any movement. Going out in a blaze of glory too fast, too young, too foolish, and is a waste of time, energy, preparation, and struggle for those who stood before you and prepared you for the way. My enslaved great-great paternal and maternal grandmothers knew that she had to survive for the future survival of her descendants, for the future. She had to survive in the environment under the conditions of which she lived and exist under during that time in history and space. Spirituality is and forever will be at the forefront of any real, true revolutionary movement. No world power, government, rulership, army, or united front has ever existed successfully without direct and intimate divine intervention and spiritual involvement. A conscious awareness of diet and wellness and a shared access to resources. This has been and is true since the beginnings of time and the unification of group efforts of man and woman in a collective effort of survival. Even early hunter-gatherer man utilized skills of the oracles to commune with, study, communicate, and ultimately capture and secure animals and nature for food resources. You are working against yourselves in any attempt to eradicate true consciousness and revolutionary movement of and to its historical and ancestral connection to spirit and the things of the spirit realms. It is a futile effort and one based in flesh, carnality, and pure ego at its most primal level. A child watching early morning cartoons is already being indoctrinated, programmed, and prepared for an eventual and continual presence in science and technology of the continued study, evolution, exploitation of spiritual and metaphysical gifts and the supernatural. To deny this is to voluntarily give up any controls in the process and to remain perpetually and eternally ignorant and unprepared. Clearly, the lack of clear, pure, unbiased, and unprejudiced spirituality has been the downfall of many movements. Sick, angry, disheveled souls will not unify, will not show true support, reverence, commitment to any cause outside of that of their stomach in the most basic of animal nature. Food, hunger, shelter, an animalistic level of procreation and satisfying the most basic senses and survival. So from where do you draw your army, your constituency, if the larger portion of our communities is sick, unhealthy in mind, body, and spirit? You cannot adequately and appropriately approach any revolution without foreknowledge and planning for disease, food, and resources. And if you think you can locate, establish, and store and prepare for these without spirituality, you're a fool. You're a fool. If your diet is not right, your body will not be right. If your body ain't right, your mind ain't right. And if your mind ain't right, then your spirit won't be right. And if your spirit ain't right, your soul won't be right either. And be assured you will be unprepared for any level of real battle on any level or dimension. You're weak to the system because you have no tangible spiritual barriers. Weak within your emotions, weak within your actions and decisions, weak within your motivations and intentions. You cannot control a movement without first controlling yourself, your flesh, your carnality, and lower animal nature. The Black Panther Party, Queen Nzinga, Dr. Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, George Washington Carver, Marcus Garvey, and others, Malcolm X, all had this basic understanding and was at the foundations. This understanding was at the foundations of their movement. When they evolved, their understanding evolved. Thus, their movements evolved, even after death. And when the balance was not right, historically, the root worker and the conjure worker was there to bring divine justice and realignment. The key to black slave uprisings was being self-read, in touch with the wisdom of and teachings of your elders and ancestors, and some form of spiritual or divine intervention. In fact, to note, the great book of Saint Cyprian, and in Portuguese, that's O Antigo Livro de Seu Cipriano, Capa de Acto, is a book that deals with the occult. Now you ask, what does that have to do with revolutionary movement? I'm going to show you, and Papa Say is going to help me. This book is written in Portuguese and Spanish and has been published in several editions with varying titles. Although the book refers to Saint Cyprian, the Cyprian referred to is without doubt the legendary sorcerer who was martyred together with Justina. And you can Google that. The actual book appeared centuries after his death and could not possibly have been written by him. In fact, the first known edition came out in 49. And according to the title, it was the book of Saint Cyprian, taken from a manuscript made by the saint himself, who teaches how to, and listen carefully, how to undo all spells made by the Moors in this kingdom of Portugal, and also how to find the places where riches could be found. So understand, armchair revolutionaries, there is a connection, always has been, always will be, a deep connection to spirituality and revolutionary movement. And understand, do not be confused. I do not say religion. I say spirituality. And there's a difference. Papa Say is going to come in a moment and help me further clarify that. This book was taken from Portugal to Brazil and became widely used in popular religion, especially Umbanda and Candomblé. Especially Umbanda and Candomblé. So yes, the secret manuscript found its way into Umbanda, Candomblé, Hoodoo, Obeah, Santeria, and Voodoo in one form or another. And several editions of the work appear as Great and True, The Only Complete One, Authentic, In a Black Cape, and also In a Steel Cape. All explain that Saint Cyprian, the sorcerer of Antioch, is not the same as the famous bishop of Carthage. Those historians listening understand that's another Moorish stronghold. All have instructions to priests on how to cure disease, evil spells, and exorcisms, a list of 174 treasures of Galicia. Galicia is a region, an ancient kingdom of northwest Spain on the Atlantic Ocean south of the Bay of Biscay, exploited by the Romans for its mineral resources. It later became a Goth kingdom and a stronghold of the Moors. This book also includes the prayer of the guardian angel, 50 mysteries of witchcraft from the time of the Moors, including medicine, treasures of magic, for example, a way to capture a little devil making a pact with Satan to do your bidding, black magic to destroy a marriage, a skull lit up with candles of grease to do evil to a person. Some of you will recognize some of these ritual practices have found their way into Palo. And an explanation of hidden powers of hatred and love, the hidden powers of magnetism, prayers of popular religiosity, Magnificat, Cross of Saint Benedict, Dream of Our Lady, Dearly Beloved Jesus Christ, and a prayer to aid the sick in the hour of death, and the prayer of the black goat, etc. Now, many consider it a sin to even possess the book or even touch it. Some owners of book shops keep it chained inside a box, or otherwise locked away and out of sight, and unless you specifically ask for it, and in many cases submit to some unusual looks, stares, and comments, you may or may not be given access to it. And it's very hard to come by, but it's a very common manuscript in Hoodoo and Obeah culture. And in Portugal, it is believed that reading the book back to front will attract the devil. So I'm going to open my phone line and invite Papa Say in on the conversation. Papa Say, are you with me? Area code 312-473. Is that Papa Say or someone else? Okay, Okay, I'm hearing static. I'm going to put you on hold. If that is Papa Say, I'm going to need you to hang up and call back or try a different phone or something. I couldn't hear you at all. All I did hear was the static. So in the meantime, I'm going to quickly cover slave revolts, revolution, and how it got to the Americas via New Orleans and the Haitian Revolution. And this is a Library of Congress study reference, and it is available through the Library of Congress. Just look for the Haiti and the Haitian Revolution. Violent conflicts between white colonists and black slaves were common in Saint-Dominique, which later became the Dominican Republic on one half of the island and Haiti on the other. Bands of runaway slaves known as Maroons entrenched themselves in bastions in the colony mountains and forest from which they harried white-owned plantations, both to secure provisions and weaponry and to avenge themselves against the inhabitants. As their numbers grew, these bands, sometimes consisting of thousands of people, began to carry out hit-and-run attacks throughout the colony. This guerrilla warfare, however, lacked centralized organization and leadership. The most famous Maroon leader was Francois Macandal, whose six-year rebellion from 1751 to 57 left an estimated 6,000 dead. Reportedly, a Bokor is a voodoo sorceress or a obey a high priest who practices from the voodooing Haitian-based traditions. The Boku or Bokor Macandal drew from African traditions and religions to motivate his followers. The French burned him at the stake in Cape Francois in 1758. Popular accounts of this execution say that the stake snapped during his execution and have enhanced his legendary status. Many Haitians point to the Maroons' attacks as the first manifestation of a revolt against French and slave rulership and the slaveholding system. The attacks certainly presaged the 1791 slave rebellion, which evolved into the Haitian Revolution. They also marked the beginning of a martial tradition for blacks, just as service in the colonial militia had done for the Jean du Calour. The Maroons, however, seemed incapable of staging a broad-based insurrection on their own. Although challenged and vexed by the Maroons' actions, colonial authorities effectively rebelled the attacks, especially with help from the Jean de la Cour, who were probably forced into cooperating. These were the early, what we later came to understand as Creoles or mixed race, but they were just another form of overseer. They were often chose because of the difference in skin tone, and they were prepped by their education, their ability to speak and comprehend French, and ultimately to control the slave population. And the arrangement that enabled the whites and the landed Jean de Calour to preserve the stability of the slaveholding system was unstable. In an economic sense, the system worked for both groups. However, the Jean de Calour had aspirations beyond the accumulation of goods. They desired equality with white colonists, and many of them desired power. The events set in motion in 1789 by the French Revolution shook up and eventually shattered the arrangement. The National Assembly in Paris required the white colonial assembly to grant suffrage to the landed and tax-paying gens de couleur, or the gentlemen of color. The white colonists had had a history of ignoring French efforts to improve the lot of the blacks or people of color and the mulatto populations. The assembly refused, leading to the first mulatto rebellion in Saint-Dominique. And I want you who are listening now live and in archive, to best you can, pay attention to the details. Because me and Papa Say are going to later explain and cover how via COINTEL and other various means, these very same tactics are being used today to drive a wedge between religion, spirituality, and any true revolutionary movement. The white elite was constantly prepared to use racial tension between blacks and mulattoes, between the uneducated and the educated, between classes within the people of color to advantage. So OJ's rebellion was a sign of broader unrest in Saint-Dominique. A slave rebellion of 1791 finally toppled the colony. Launched in August of that year, the revolt represented the culmination of a protracted conspiracy among black leaders. According to the accounts of the rebellion that have been told through the years, Francois Dominique Toussaint Louverture helped plot the uprising. Although this claim has never been substantiated, among the rebellion's leaders were Beaucourmin, or the Boku, or the witch doctors, the Hogun, a Maroon and Voodoo Hogun priest, Georges Biassou, who later made Toussaint his aide, Jean-Francois, who subsequently commanded forces along with Biassou and Toussaint under the Spanish flag, and Jeannot, the bloodthirstiest of them all. These leaders sealed their compact with a voodoo ceremony conducted by Beaucourmin in the Bois Caiman, or Alligator Woods, in early August 1791. On August 22nd, a little more than a week after the ceremony, the uprising of their black followers began. Okay, I see Papa Say is back on the line. Papa Say, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you. Can you hear me tonight?
Just barely.
You're
kind of cutting.
Me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? You're kind of cutting in and out.
Oh, I am. Oh, but you're loud and clear. I don't know what's going on.
But
you're loud and clear. I hope it's not just a... Hello? Is it just the phone connection?
It may be. You're really breaking up, though.
Okay, because we've been trouble here with lines here in Chicago for about the, especially this part of the city for the last 2 days or so. So it could be that. Just hang on. Hang on for a minute. I'll call right back on the line.
Okay, we're not understanding you at all, Papa Space. I'm going to put you on hold again, and I'm going to check my other line. Peace and blessings, Queen Mother.
Peace and blessings. How are you?
I'm all is a blessing. Truly all is a blessing.
You surely are always a blessing.
Yeah, we're going to see beyond this technical glitch and move this.
Yeah,
because
Papa Say is coming in really broken up.
Yeah.
He's coming in really broken up. He's having technical difficulties.
Yeah, we're going to give him just a quick minute to see if he can call in on a different phone or a different line. I'm going to put you back on hold, Queen, until after this quick musical break. And then hopefully at that point we can get Papa Say back in. I'm going to play a selection from Melvin Gibbs, who is a shaman who has presented us with some of his music to play here on the show. On Blog Talk Radio, and I'm going to play The Ancient Speak, Canto por Adudwa. Alafia, peace and blessings, and we are back now with Papa Say on a better phone. Papa Say, are you with me?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me tonight?
That sounds much, much better.
Okay, thank you.
You must have been on...
We've been having trouble here for a couple of days now in this particular section of Chicago with all kind of phones. I'm not kidding, line phones, broadband phones, cell phones, everything. They don't know what it is. I mean, they've literally gone to every home, just told everyone there was going to be problems here with it. So I was expecting everything to be better because I have new computer equipment, and I could hear you guys perfectly. Everything was fine. The show was fine. Everything you said is absolutely true. Everybody, everything he said is absolutely true. The fact is that no revolution, period, no revolution alive, period, has ever started without a spiritual thrust, a spiritual backbone, a spiritual foundation. How can you free people's bodies if you cannot free their spirits and souls? You can't do it. And I was even listening to the people that you brought up. Most people don't realize that people like Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman were actually people that believed in this practice that we call root work, hoodoo, conjure women. Sojourner Truth was a conjure woman. Harriet Tubman was a woman, her ability to read was not that good, but she actually carried roots and things with her to keep her invisible. This is an established fact, historical fact, when she took slaves from the plantations and through the Underground Railroad in places there, and you couldn't always depend on that because some of the stops there were either raided or had been stopped or whatever. But she took roots with her to give her invisibility or so with that. So it's not anything new or unique. Nat Turner was a slave who actually had taught himself how to read. And through that reading or so, after he read the Bible, which we understand, and we've even thought of that, is the world's greatest hoodoo manual, he actually saw in there what he had to do to bring about the freedom of himself and other slaves there. He was portrayed, as I was coming up, as a psychopathic sociopath. This is an individual that's so crazy that they kill for the love of it, okay? But the fact is that when you really read the biographical sketches and whatnot that he had, this was a man that was possessed of a clear state of mind who actually knew native or traditional healing, slave healing, as we so can. He was feared in the Carolinas because of that. He was feared because of that. Now, I could even go farther if you want to. In our present day, I mean, even Jim Mark Vesey and all of these individuals, there was a spiritual depth to what they were doing. They were doing it for a spiritual purpose. But even people such as Dr. Martin Luther King, most people don't know this, but Dr. Martin Luther King's parents, both of their parents, were raised by individuals who believed in hoodoo, who were root workers and so. Martin Luther King's daughter, the one that's a minister now in Bishop Eddie Long's church there in Atlanta, Georgia, where Coretta Scott King was also a member, you know, when she died, I mean, they had the funeral there and whatnot. Mm-hmm. This girl had learned root work from her grandparents. It's something that was with her, I mean, deeply in her. His son, Martin Luther King, well, he's actually the third, really. This actual boy knows about it, but kind of hid it. He was like me. He hid it. He didn't want to deal with it or anything like that. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. They were able to do this because they believed that the spirits, and especially their ancestors, were the ones that were teaching them and showing them what had to happen. They also believed that the very things that are in the ground were actually what they needed to bring about their liberation, the liberation of others. Most individuals do not understand that Dr. Martin Luther King, on every single solitary march and demonstration he was on, carried a high John the Conqueror root in his right pocket. He always did it, every single solitary time. He always did it. The day that he was shot at the Lorraine Hotel, on that particular day, he had stepped out of the room was going to take a shower. He had emptied his pockets and had left it on the counter there and had stepped out of the room, and that's when he got shot. He told individuals there, as you've seen it, you have seen he was laying in there holding his, their arms while they're calling the doctor. He was telling them to go in there and to get his bag because he kept a small nation sack, a small conjure bag, and his root and bring them to him. Now, you say, Papa, say, how do you know that? Because one of the individuals that's there, who's now also gone on, who was a saxophone player of some note during that time, played for Aretha Franklin, but he prayed for Dr. King, and his name was Ben Branch. Ben Branch told me this to my face. He said he was there. He saw it. Exactly. He said they knew what he was saying. So that's why everybody, when it was over, they wouldn't bring it out, and they were absolutely upset. Everybody, but one person, Jesse Jackson, who went and made it a media feast off of the entire thing or so with it, okay? So this element of people, of the people who are about absolute change and doing good for others, being practitioners, is a very, very old established fact. But it's also true that there's always individuals that counterintel. And Jesse Jackson in that state, and that one, is definitely that. And there are others that are like that. There's a movement now, I found out about it, that's on YouTube and others and other places, to silence anybody that speaks anything about something spiritual, especially when it comes to blacks. But they don't really care. They want to stop it as far as they can. It doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're reading tarot, if you're reading Ruth, hey, if you're doing root work, whatever, they want this to stop. And I honestly believe why, because too much common sense is going into people's heads. When I look in the paper and I see that when individuals talk about the industries that are not suffering because of the recession, have not lost job rates, have not lost sales, have not lost customers, rates have not gone down but have gone up, the number one group, the number one industry is our industry, those they call the psychic services industry. Those of us who sit down and talk to people who have problems and tell them where the problems are, and not only tell them where they are, but a lot of times tell them how to get rid of it or so. And we've talked, I have seen, I know Prince has, but I've seen an influx of individuals who were names to say was nothing but people that weren't educated, people who were basically ignorant and didn't know. I'm going to tell you something. I've been getting clients with college degrees who were financial advisors, who counted other people's money, who invested their money. They're calling me and asking me, what do you see about this? What's happening in my life? Why isn't this particular thing going? Listen, I'm not going to argue about it. I'm going to tell you something. Yes, I do have training in psychology. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I know how to do marriage counseling. Yes, I know how. Okay, I know how to identify abnormalities in any psychological or behavioral situation that I might come in contact with. But I don't use it because it's just so far it can go. But when I have individuals that are coming to me who don't even know I have that background, because this is the first time anybody on here has ever heard that, okay, and I know yet because I don't bring it up. But when individuals come to me and ask me, what should I do here with this particular, my loved one, with my family or so, because we have these problems here, and I just believe that spiritually there's something that I have to take care of. Let me tell you something. Man, that's not for me to get Freud out or Jung out and start reading their books. I'm not supposed to go by that. I'm supposed to go by what the Spirit says. And this move to actually stop what we're doing, to stop what has been in a virtual change of just alleviation for most people has now become, it's now faced with virtual attacks, open attacks against us. Open attacks.
And you're putting it, mildly, you know, which is why I invoked COINTELPRO. And some of these within our community do not, I'm willing to admit, they may not even realize they're being utilized for this purpose, but it's really to shut down the collective movement of our community and ourselves as a people.
Correct.
And I don't want to forget that we have Queen Mother on the line. Sister Tony, and I want to invite her to jump in there at any point that she wishes. She, too, has been active in the community for some time within and without of the so-called religious fractions of our community. But I think she, too, would agree that no successful movement has ever been launched without a connection to spirituality. And understand, I'm not talking about religion. Religious practice comes in many forms. I'm talking about spirituality and understanding that there is something greater than thyself. Would you agree, Queen?
Yes. Several things I'd like to comment on. One of the things is there was a movie that Hollywood made about Harriet Tubman, and it clearly defines her belief in the Obeah.
Mm-hmm.
One, when you watch this movie, it's the only movie I've ever been seen by her. She consulted the local slave medicine woman, quote unquote, on all the moves, especially about the man whose name she took.
That's right.
Tugman. Her ability to have children, she consulted on, and she was told she would never have children. Her ability upon a white horse that she saw as a demon, and this woman told her would kill her husband. She consulted in the Hollywood. It was so ingrained in the documents that Hollywood confined that they put it in this movie, you know, that this is what she relied on, her being invisible.
Do you remember the name of the movie, Queen?
Harriet Tubman.
Oh, okay.
It's her autobiography.
Yeah,
and it plays occasionally on what is TV One in Memphis. I don't know what other channel it would be on. But they clearly highlight her consulting the quote-unquote seer. She was a firm believer in whatever this seer said.
Mm-hmm.
So much to the fact that she let this albino horse go that belonged to her master. Because the seer told her this horse was going to kill the man that she loved. Hollywood, from records of her, put this in a movie. You know, that's some strong stuff. To me, that Hollywood would acknowledge her belief. So many black Americans, me being one of them, have grown up with Ife without knowing it. The practice of throwing salt over your shoulder when you spill a salt shaker, the saints over your door sill. When I first came to Memphis, knowing what I know, and being a Katrina evacuee, I went to the American Red Cross for assistance. I see works, quote unquote, what we call works, over the door of the American Red Cross. I see coins in a bag of water over the door.
That's right.
I asked one of the workers of the Red Cross, because you can't smoke inside, we're on the patio in the smoking area. I was like, why is that over the door? They told me the maintenance man said that that would keep flies away. I was like, no, when you put money over your door in water, that's to make sure you got money into the building, your home, or whatever. So the maintenance man who worked there was working a mojo to make sure that the Red Cross got donations of cash. It's so much that we do in our culture that comes from African tradition and has been in our family so long, we don't question it. I didn't question my mom with the horseshoe.
That's another one.
I didn't question my mom with the door stop. That was an iron replica of a smaller iron. I didn't question. We just know it's been there before we came. It's been there all our lives. This is what we do. I didn't question the brooms on the wall over the door in the kitchen. I didn't question that. I had always known that. It wasn't until I started doing research that I knew why we did it. My mom didn't know why she did the cinnamon brooms. Her mother did the cinnamon brooms. Whose grandmother did the cinnamon brooms, who was a slave. It's grown up through generation. Me, I have cinnamon brooms. My oldest daughter, who is 32, has cinnamon brooms. If you ask my oldest daughter why she has cinnamon brooms in her kitchen, well, my mama had cinnamon brooms. It's so much that we do. Well, of course, I she's 32. I've explained to her now what the significance of the cinnamon brooms are, and she didn't take them down.
But you know what else, too, Queen? Me and Papa Thay were talking about this earlier. But that connection is being lost now with the absence of Big Mama.
I'm a
Big
Mama.
What we see now is who? Martin Lawrence and Tyler Perry. That's the only Big Mamas that really, really
sad. And it's
now.
Sad because men have to step in and portray what was always there. I'm a Big Mama. And I could honestly say that my 32-year-old daughter is going to be a Big Mama. And me being a Big Mama, I have actually let her take more control of the family because she is the next generation. She will most likely outlive me. And she is the one to pass it on to the younger generations, to my granddaughter who is 15, who will be like her mother with the cinnamon brooms in her kitchen. The horseshoe over her door, the iron door stop, but I had to let them know why they do this, and once I told them, you know, they was like, okay.
And we say that you know, oh, this is just superstition and it doesn't matter, but the evidence is all around us. You know, you said if you expect your daughter to outlive you, but parents are outliving the children now. The younger generations are coming out, and albeit they have access to information and the internet, but there's no wisdom there. There's no spiritual training and ingraining there. I want to also make reference to our chat room. I want to thank and appreciate all those in our chat room, Love and My Yacht. Lunachick 27, Mojo Moonjo, Miss Mojo Scorpio, Papa Faye, the Tarot Lady, and of course Sister Tony, Queen Mother. Mojo Moon is making reference to horseshoes over the door and lemons with black pins, and some of the practices that she saw also growing up and later came to understand as forms of good luck charms or things to dispel evil work. Mm-hmm. She also talked about the oranges and the nutmeg, which we now often in Ifa associate with Oshun. And I want to remind those listening that our call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. Please feel free to call in and join us in the discussion as we continue on with our talk about spirituality and revolution. I said spirituality and revolution, not spirituality versus revolution. The two go hand in hand and have always, since the beginnings of time itself. Even when we look at ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt, and in the revolutionary movement of Queen Nefertiti and Akhenaten, religion was at the forefront of that movement. Religion was at the forefront of King Tut's attempt to reestablish what was from before. So it's always been a present, it's always been a part. It is the reason why we are acting now without conscience. It is the reason why we are losing control of our youth. We have but to look at Liberia and some of the other more recent civil war places that have taken place in the last decade or 2 decades to see the effects of unbridled, uncontrolled revolution with no spiritual basis and foundation. And we're going to also go to our phone lines. We have a caller calling from the area code 419-917 area code and phone number. Do you have a question or comment? Peace and blessings.
Peace to everyone. I was just going to say, I don't know who the caller was or what's the sister that's on the line?
That's the Queen Mother, Sister Tone.
Oh, Queen Mother, I'm sorry. I just, when you start talking about Big Mamas, I just remember I'm from Ohio, but I spent, my family is from Georgia. And they are, I guess you would call them Creole or something like that. But I just remember every summer I had to stay down there. And my Big Mama would be wearing something around her neck. And it was, we would ask her, it was like 8 of us, like seeing her at that time, we would ask her what it was, and she would be like, she would never tell us, but we could never touch it. And there was so many rituals that she would do on an everyday basis, and we just got used to it, you know. And when you start talking about it, it just made me kind of nostalgic, like remembering. And I remember a lady used to live across the street from my Big Ma was like the witch doctor for this whole little town in Georgia. And that's what we called her. We would like be so scared of the witch. But now that I'm more conscious and I'm more aware, you know, I realize all those things that, you know, were so special that really made a big part of our lives. So I just wanted to make that comment.
No, thank you. This is Papa Sam, but let me address something. The person they were calling the witch doctor, actually for us, for Africans, witch doctor is not a bad thing. A witch
I
know that.
Okay.
I know. You said okay. The right thing. You said everything. Okay. I'm not chasing you or anything, but it is a good thing. And more than likely, from listening to what you were saying about your Big Mama, Big Mama was a very spiritual woman, and mm-hmm. more than likely could see her own self. She might have been what we call two-headed, if you want to say at a light point, I'd have to say that she was a conjure woman, or so with that. But that's good. You came around that, and like she's bring, like you brought up Big Mama. What happened to Big Daddy? Okay, we hardly ever even seen no TV shows or movies about Big Daddy.
Right.
Okay. Now, look, no, you don't see that anymore. Now, let me tell you something. Just about this Big Daddy deal, okay, in my own family, Okay, people call me Papa. Okay, Papa Sex, but I'm not the Papa. See, my father is nearly 100 years old. I'm just close to three-quarters of a century. He's nearly 100 years old. Now, that is the Papa, okay? And I obey him just like I'm 5 years old, okay? Because he knows what he's doing. Even if he's sick on the way, he gets around, he does what he wants, you know, just to make a long story short. I got some brothers and sisters that's young enough to be my grandkids, okay? And he's their daddy, and this ain't no lie, okay? And I hope when I get that old, I'm able to go ahead and be as strong as he is. But his father and him knew all about this. And they would tell us, they would tell me stuff when I was young. Boy, what you have to do and how you have to carry yourself, and this will take care of this. Well, all of my people taught that kind of stuff. But see, Big Daddy was the one that kept that sense of authority and control there among the family and stuff like that. See, you didn't run wild when Big Daddy was around there. No, that didn't go. That didn't go. It didn't happen that way. But these people that Prince is talking about, these counterintelligence, these counter-revolutionaries, are sitting up and trying to put our people, in fact, hey, everybody, in an outright war against the government, against the president, against anybody not like them, and it's only for the sake of eliminating those who really can actually lead for something worthwhile. You cannot do this without spiritual impetus. You can't do it. Now, Ty will tell you that himself. Prince will tell you that himself. He and I both, our ethnic group on the continent is the Igbos from southeastern Nigeria. There is no way we do anything without a spiritual input. Everything, every single solitary thing has a spiritual purpose. Everything. I don't care what it is. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Okay?
And when you research back onto the continent, there is no warrior traditions. There are no warrior tribes that did not have a direct and intimate relationship with the spiritualist.
That's
as
right.
Part of their mission. And
that's
they
right.
made no decisions without that.
That's right.
I'm going to give Queen Mother a chance to jump in there, too, since she,
that's
the
right.
caller was making direct reference to the Queen. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, because the caller was making reference to you.
Oh,
she
yes.
She was inspired by your comments.
On the continent, before the days of slavery, before the European slave trade, men and women sought counsel with each other. A woman would not go to a male for counsel, and a male would not go to a woman for counsel unless it was his mother or grandmother. After slavery, only the strongest of the two would give counsel to whomever was on the plantation. If it ran in your bloodline, like in my mother's bloodline, my foster mother, not my birth mother, the mother that the gods gave me, it ran through her line from the Indians. She dealt with the female energies. There were males who dealt with the male energies. This was passed down through the sexes. A male generally would not seek out a female, and a female would not generally seek out a male, unlike today in a lot of the recognized religions where you have the pastor overseeing the church. It leads way to a lot of fornications where the male has all the females coming to him for advice and he's misusing his stature or whatever.
Well, particularly when they're operating out of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
and not out of the spirit.
Out of the spirit.
Yeah, I find it very
intriguing.
And the spirit
is generally slow. Slower than the flesh. The flesh wants now gratification.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the spirit is more give it time. The sister who made the comment, most likely that amulet or bag that was worn was for protection of herself and her family. And it could not be touched.
Hold on, Tony. Carla, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Can you describe it at all?
Yeah, I remember it was on some type of string. It was a dark bag and it was tied up. That's all I know. It was like you could see and she would hide it under like her shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was just like on a string, and it was just, it looked like just like maybe something you would put marbles in or something. I mean, that's, I wouldn't say that was the material, but it looked like a marble bag to me when I was little.
I make them and I wear them.
Okay.
That
so you
was,
know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. On a string, on a thick string, a corded or crocheted string in a bag around her neck that exhumed the smell that attracted the children. What
right.
is that?
We definitely knew it was there. We
yeah, because yeah. I wear them. But,
and I was going to say, can I make a comment real quick?
Yes.
I had a big daddy, too. Now, you know, my family was Southern and everything like that, but it seemed like all of our family was based around my big mama. You know, he was there, and he was strong, and he was there and everything, but everything spiritual, all the love, everything that we got and everything that we learned was from our big mama. So I guess that's why we just, you know, gravitated towards her. So
and
she
that,
had 12 kids, so you can imagine how many. And I'm her great-great-granddaughter. So you can imagine how many of us it was.
And that is because of the role of the male as provider of physical things. And by physical things, I mean he supplied what you needed on the outside, your shoes, your clothes. He worked. He provided the roof over your head. He provided the money for your books to go to school. He provided the shoes on your feet. But the mother was the one who was responsible for your physical well-being as far as food that nourish your body and what we call soul food that nourish your soul. And that was the female role that has been forgotten in the younger black women of today because they have become the providers of the roof over your head, the clothes on your back. Everyone had a role to play. The roles have been reversed or become non-existent to where the female has now become the sole provider for every nourishment you need. If the male is not there to provide a roof over your head, the food for your stomach, the female must provide that, plus her traditional role in many cultures, not every culture, but many cultures, as being the nursemaid. That means the one who provides solace and strength and relaxation for the male who is providing a large part of your survival.
Yes,
he needs to be provided for.
Yes, indeed, and I'm with you. I want to take a chance to go through the phone line.
Okay, I want to say peace to everyone, and I'm going to go ahead and just listen, okay?
Okay, peace and blessings. Is this Eric?
Nice talking to you, sister.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Area code 678489. Are you on the line?
Yes. Hi. How are you? This is Nikki Love.
Nikki, and where are you calling from?
I am calling from Georgia.
Peace and blessings. And did you have a question or a comment?
Actually, I am really, really happy that you have this show. I think I do have you as one of my favorites on as my friends, but I am so happy to see that there's another show like this coming on air.
Well, we greatly appreciate that.
Yes, I'm happy to see it, and especially because I would tell everybody, because of the cosmic shift, more people are becoming spiritual. When I say spiritual, they're getting out of the religion part of it, and they're becoming in spiritual as far as getting in line with nature and calling on the spiritual beings that's in line with nature to actually help them, which is part of our culture, which was part of our culture from years ago, from way back in the eons, and we're coming back to our culture now. It's a wonderful thing.
Well,
yes,
thank you. I'm
go ahead, Papa.
That. Yeah, I'm happy to hear. I'm happy to hear you say that. And yes, I am. I'm very much interested in individuals, our people learning their culture, because the culture is the synthesis of your spirituality. If you don't have culture, you have no spirituality. If you have no spirituality, you have no morality. If you have no morality, you have no progress. If you have no progress, you have no future. If you have no future, you have only death. And that's exactly what we're looking at now. And it's also something to really look at with other individuals, too, and the things, the different aspects that are going on in the community. And it's one of the things that we actually will say, because individuals have always asked us or would ask me, what do we see as, quote, African-American spirituality? And I say, you know, that's kind of a, you know, I said, that's kind of a touchy subject, because when you say spirituality to me, you're not talking religion.
Yeah, you are so right. But
you're not talking about something that is, you know, where I go every, you know, once or twice a week or something like that. When you say spirituality, you're talking about my way of living, okay,
right,
after living on the continent and stuff. So this is something totally, totally different. And I have to explain to myself, if we're going to be concrete with this, the only thing that we have that is ours, that we have here, you know, that no one could take, no one could reshape it, and it's not religion, but spirituality, I would have to say that what we call hoodoo is actually that, because
right,
that's ours. That's ours. Nobody, I mean, people try to take it and do what they can with it, but they can't. Look there, I've been around here a long time. I've seen all kinds of stuff. I've seen all kinds of people saying they're doing it, and they're taking it, and they're teaching people. You got folks now saying they're teaching people this and giving them licenses and certificates. This stuff is absolutely crazy. I've never heard of that. There never has anything, a license in hoodoo, a certification in that. No such thing. You get licensed by the spirit you work with. You get certified by your class. That's who certifies. You says you know what you're doing, and you go ahead and do it. This stuff is something that's based on spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a profession that's regulated by the government or anything. But you know what? The one thing about it is that this spirituality is so important to our folks that it is just like this show was about. It is something that's integral even to our, quote, political aspirations. This is, if there's revolution, the revolution will be spiritual. It's
mm-hmm.
going to be there. If there's no spiritual connection, there ain't going to be no political one, and you can go and do what you want. You know what? Let me give you an example. Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro was a lawyer. He was trained here in the United States. But what's not known is that Fidel Castro was an ardent follower of Candomblé and Santeria.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So what?
No one ever knows. Yeah, it doesn't come out. They don't say it. That the first time he ever heard about fighting for Cuba, for the people that were there, and to take the land back from the people, was from a Santero who, I don't know if he was his godfather or what, but it was from a Santero who was very, very well known, okay,
mm-hmm.
very well known in that particular area. And he told him when he was young that you're going to go to the United States and you're going to learn but there's other laws you have to do. So we see this over and over and over again. Like I said, you brought up with Dr. King. Dr. King used to always keep a John the Conqueror wound in his pockets, okay, all of the time. When he got killed, it was out of his pocket. He had got shot in, okay. Even
Folks will say, well, that doesn't happen with church leaders. Oh, it doesn't? Charles Henry Mason, the founder of the Church of God in Christ. I didn't see it because I was too young, okay? But I know individuals that saw who were older than me who said that Bishop Mason, before he would preach or do anything like that, he'd have a box, a cigar box, which was full of roots, and he would open up and look at those roots, place them around the pulpit before he preached, and he would pick up one as he was doing certain things in his ministration and walk around the church and preach to people with this. Now, these are people that are, quote, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, do speak in tongues, the Spirit give them utterance, okay? They said they wouldn't even do this. Yeah, but your founder did. Your founder did, because this is our thing.
That's
this is our thing.
And you know, a lot of...
Yes.
Hold on, Papa.
Okay. What
go
I was going to say, a lot of, you know, first of all, I was initiated with the Dagoma tribe of Africa, okay? And, you know, originally my family, my mother's family comes from the Cape Verde Islands, which is off the west coast of Africa, and there's a lot that we know. But I also teach people that I let them know that this is originally what we did, and a lot of the church leaders do. They do these behind closed doors, but you have a lot of the white political people also that come to Africa that also pay a lot of our indigenous practitioners to do work for them. Now,
right.
My thing is like this, you know, right now what we're trying to do is like I heard Papa say, Ken Mboli, he talked about the Santeria. A lot of them are a little bit watered down because you remember that the started in Benin, Africa. That's where it started originally.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, my thing is we need to realize as a people that we have to come back to our culture. We even have, they have tribes of Africa, Nigeria, Senegal, Ghana, all of them that get together once a year and discuss what's going on with African Americans here. And they're saying that we need to get back to our culture. You have a lot of them over there that have been colonialized, and now they're getting out of the religions and they're coming back to calling on their ancestors. So when we speak about this, it's very, our people need to know the importance of having this African spirituality, calling on your ancestors, calling on your spirits, because that's what we originally did. And because we have a cosmic shift and because we have a spiritual walk on right now, we're going to need to be able to call on our ancestors and call on our spirits to assist us. And we need more. And I'm again, Divine Prince, I really am happy you have the show because we need more, you know, spiritual leaders in the African-American communities here in America. We need to have them available because what's going on with our black people in America is ridiculous. And we're going to need people in the neighborhoods, in our communities, to divine, to help our people, to give them herbs, to call on the spirits to protect us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
I agree.
That's right, sister. You truly speak the truth. And
truly
we
on one.
True spirituality, not false religion. I understand. Mm-hmm. We're not against religion. We have an issue with religiosity,
mm-hmm.
where we learn how to speak a language, we learn how to look a certain way and to present a certain facade of an understanding, but there's no fruits being born. There's no spiritual growth. When you have that spiritual growth, you have control of your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You have control of your feelings. You have control of your objectives. You know, we, particularly our young men, are too quick to throw our hands or throw our lives into the hands of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we're being fought by the system, but we're also too willing to allow ourselves to walk that path, to throw ourselves into the hand of that viper that we know is waiting on us.
You know why?
Sure, go ahead.
And not to interrupt, and I'm not going to be too long because I have to get ready for my show, but I will say this. As I always say, we have been programmed and we have also been brainwashed. And then we were given the Bible to say, here, this is what's going to control you. So a lot of our African-American people are really, you know, focused on this Jesus and this God concept. And how I get them, this is how I get them, everybody. This is what I do. When they come to me and say, well, you call on spirits and you're practicing voodoo and this is evil and this and that, I send them back to the Bible because I studied theology. I send them back to Moses and show the sacrifices that Moses did. Then I send them back and say, well, first of all, if you're calling on Jesus and this God that you're saying that you, you know, worship that's going to be here for you, I call on my ancestors and the spirits, the spiritual forces that assist me. So what's the difference? I said, I'm going to tell you the difference. The difference is I'm calling on the blood of my ancestors that have the same bloodline as I do, who I know that's going to be there for me. I said, do you know that Jesus is going to be there for you?
Yes, indeed.
You see what I'm saying?
But what a lot of them don't know is that, yes, Jesus will be there for you because he is of the same bloodline.
Well, brother, let me say this to you. Jesus is, it never existed. Jesus
okay,
never existed.
That was the Queen Mother who just commented.
Hello?
Oh, okay.
He is of the same bloodline. They just have taken him and claimed him as their own. They have stolen him from his true bloodline and placed him in a false bloodline.
Okay, so if you're taking it back
like to
Kemet.
Yeah.
Okay,
like
now I got where she's coming from.
Yeah.
She's taking it back to Kemet. Right, okay. When you're talking about that, yes, but the white Jesus that they displayed to us?
Yes.
Right.
They have stolen him from us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is us. Jesus is from our bloodline.
And we have really run out of time. We're down to 60 seconds. We really need to continue this. We're probably going to continue it Saturday night, 9 p.m. Central Time, on Papa Say's show. We also have requests from the chat. Caller, what is the name of your show, and what time do you come on?
Okay, my name is, if they go to Blog Talk and put in Nikki Love, N-I-C-K-Y-L-O-V-E. They can put in blogtalkradio.com/Nikki Love, and my shows come on at 10 o'clock. And as I mentioned in the chat room, I do teach African spirituality on Tuesdays, and we have a Baba Numensi that comes on as well, who wrote the book God Seems Decoded. And tonight we're doing The Destruction of Black Civilization, where we teach about before religion.
And we certainly appreciate that, and we would hope to always continue to share with you. We'll support your show as you have supported ours. We wish everyone to return with us again on next week, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time, July 29th. We'll have another powerful and informative show.